This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Now, look what God has said. God says that my mercy extendeth to all. And then he comes behind it and says, now I shall ordain it for those who do right and practice regular charity and who believe in our signs. Means who believe in the religion, right? Who believe in the religion. All of it. You see, what have come from God. So what is this saying to us? It is saying that yes, the people that you think need punishment, perhaps they do need punishment. But if you keep on doing my job, a lot of these people that's earning punishment now, they're going to see in time, and they're going to be affected. And they're going to repent. And they're going to start doing right and practicing charity and believing in our signs. So look, if I carry out your wishes right now, Moses, we won't have no people for the future. Praise be to Allah. So let's continue now. Now, look how God is going to bring these people. Because after all, who did he have among those people except Moses? Huh? Even Aaron turned backwards. So who did God have among them except Moses? He had nobody but Moses. But the people that he was going to make going to come from that very people. Oh, yes. Let's continue the reading now. He ordained it for them. It goes on to describe. Those who follow the apostle. So that's look here, that's a guarantee from Allah. Yeah, I know the state of these people now, Moses. But you're going to have followers from these people. Those who follow the apostle, the unlettered prophet. Now, a lot of us don't know that Moses was an unlettered prophet. But now Allah is speaking through Moses at what Prophet Muhammad would be, at his situation, what the situation he would face, and how he would triumph too. And the man in the same condition as Moses was in. A man who was uneducated. Moses said, oh God, I fear to go before Moses, go before Pharaoh and his priests or his magicians. Why? Because they were very clever. They were very articulate. They were high people. They were the high and mighty. So Moses said, God, this is too much for me. See, would you untie the knot in my tongue? What does it mean? Will you give me the speech that they have? Will you give me the ability to articulate, to speak clearly, to speak very persuasively, to command the language? Will you give me command of the language, command of the tongue that they have? Then I won't feel so embarrassed going before them, God. God said, that's going to take a little time, Moses. He said, well, then will you help Aaron out so he can see what we have to do? Aaron is a pretty smooth talker. Now, if you can just show him what we have to do here, God, and make him a helper for me. God said, okay, don't worry about that. That much we can do right now. Say, okay, you got Aaron. Aaron will go over you, and he'll be a speaker for you. Right? Yeah. Okay. So let's go on now. Keep reading here. Those who follow the apostle, the unlettered prophet, the uneducated prophet, whom they find mentioned in their own scriptures, in the law and the gospel, that mean in the Old Testament, the Torah, and the gospel, the New Testament. For he commands them what is just and forbids them what is evil. That's the distinguishing mark. That's the distinguishing mark. If he is the right one, if he is the liberator, we're talking about a liberator. If he is the liberator that's coming, his distinguishing mark is that he stands upon what is right. He stands against wrong, and he stands up for right. That's his distinguishing mark. He allows them as lawful what is good and pure, and he prohibits them from what is bad and impure. That's his mark. We got people who say they are leaders. Say they want us to recognize them. Church leaders, other leaders, TV made leaders. And they want us to recognize them as being the proper leader for all of us. Oh, yeah, here's the proper leader. That's the proper leader. That's the one with the credentials. But is he standing up for right? And standing against wrong? But that's not all. See, the test gets hotter. Is he encouraging the people, putting a sanction on what is good and pure, and holding them back from what is bad and impure? In other words, we can't have leaders that get out there and say, oh, I'm for you, man, and we got to have so many jobs, or we got to have this civil rights bill passed, but you don't see my brother who's a winehead, who's got a good mind, but he's given himself to the influences of this neighborhood, and he's laying in the gutter. You don't see the crime building up in my neighborhood. You don't see the black crime spreading all over the community. You don't see the bad eating habits of the people that's cutting off their life, that's giving them high blood pressure, that's raising the incidence of cancer in their life. You don't see all of this. You don't see pork affecting them. You don't see whiskey affecting them. You don't see dope bothering them. You ain't addressing these problems. You're just talking about jobs and civil rights. You don't meet the qualification of the liberator in this verse. Yes. Now, let's go on. How to liberate people. This is the way you liberate them. He releases them from the heavy burden and from the yokes that are upon them. What are the yokes? Sin. Immorality. Vulgar behavior. Don't you know that's what's got us enslaved? How come we don't have the strength and the dignity of other communities? It's because we are giving ourselves to this kind of deterioration. And our leaders won't stand up and say that's wrong. This is part of your problem. We're going to have bad morals, better morals, pardon me, among the blacks. They won't do that. Let's go on now. He released them from the heavy burden, from the yokes that are upon them. So it is those who believe in him and honor him and help him and follow the light which is set down with him. It is they who will be successful. Isn't that wonderful? There ain't no question in our mind. If we are not successful, we only have to look at this one verse. We'll see why we are not successful. Let's continue. Say, O men, I am sent unto you all as the apostle of Allah, that is the apostle of the one God, the one and only God, to whom belongs, he's going to make it clear, so there's no doubt in your mind at all, to whom belongs the dominion of the skies and the earth. Say, who is Allah you're talking about? The one who owns whatever you see up there, whatever down here. Is that clear? There is no God but He. It is He that giveth both life and death. So believe in Allah. So believe in Allah and His apostle, the unlettered prophet, who believes in Allah. He believes in Allah. Who believes in Allah and in His words. Therefore, follow Him that you may be guided aright. This is the Quran. All right. So here you see the picture of the liberator, the promised liberator. The Christians call Him the Savior. And they have made Him Jesus Christ, the promised liberator who will come, and He will not compromise with wrong. He will do what He has to do, and that's it. And He will free the people not only from some of the yoke, from some of the burden, but from all of it. He will not be one to speak hard on this problem and be, mum on another problem, because He don't want to get into too much trouble, don't want to rock the boat. He won't be that kind of leader. Praise be to Allah. Now, how are we to understand the difference between Jesus and Prophet Muhammad? Peace be on them. How are we to understand the difference? Now, we know Jesus, according to Scripture, He came among the people, and He did the same thing. What He saw was wrong, He spoke out against it. And he seemed like He was mainly occupied with the needs of the oppressed, the poor. Some of you perhaps are aware of the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, and how Jesus condemned those who passed by the suffering person in the road. Poor, neglected person, a bum. Bum in the road. And He needed health care. He needed guidance. He needed a friend in society. And Jesus, He condemned them. Said those who was charged with helping Him in the religion, rabbis, the doctors of law, instead of them doing something about it, they walked around Him, crossed on the other side of the street so they wouldn't even be disturbed by Him. Yeah, you see? So we know Jesus was a person who had that sensitivity. So how are we to understand the two people, the two great figures, Jesus the prophet and Muhammad the prophet, peace be on them? Here is the way we understand it. Now, many ways, but here is one good way, one great way to understand the two and their differences. Jesus, He came to revive the moral sensitivities. And in reviving the moral sensitivities, then there would be help for the people who were suffering injustices. Right? So that's how He came. He's called a friend, He's called a doctor, He's called many things, right? Yeah, that's how He comes. Now, He didn't come to educate. How do we know? Because when Jesus sent His disciples out, He said, don't write down anything. Take no thought as to what you will say. Just go there. And when you get there, then the Spirit will move you. And He's called, what? The Son of the Holy Spirit. Is that all right? Yeah, He's the Son or the child of the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus, son of Mary in the Quran, but in the gospel, son of the Holy Spirit. You see? To let us know that that was typical of him, that typical of him is the spiritual man. The spiritual man, you see? He was born of the Holy Spirit. He's a spiritual man. And we know he was a rational prophet. He was perfectly rational. Because he argued with them in a very logical way and condemned them and their behavior on the strength of what was in the law and in the prophets. Is that not right? You know that. You read the Bible. Yeah. So it's not to say that he wasn't logical. He was logical. He was rational. But he was not the teacher of rational discourse. He came to quicken life. Says, and the first Adam, what? He was a living soul. And the second Adam, Jesus, in symbolic terminology, is what? Quickening spirit. Quickening spirit. And in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, how does it close out? I come quick. Is that what it says? I come quick. Yeah. Well, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus. But not that Jesus, talking about the Spirit that Jesus was typical of. Jesus was born of the Spirit, and his life and mission is typical of the Spirit, and the same Spirit will come again. And when it come again, it will quicken life again. You see? That's what it stands. So Jesus is the beginning of the gospel. He is the Son born of the Spirit and the Son of the Spirit. And then in the end of the book, the angel of Jesus comes to the Revelator, John the Revelator. And he tells John the Revelator many things. Leads him into many wonders, right? Give him insight into many wonders. And then John the Revelator, he ends it, says, Dad, don't touch this. Don't take anything away from this. Don't add any more to this that has been revealed. Behold, I come quick. If you don't apply your rational mind, here's John the Revelator telling them the same thing. But many can't see it. He's telling them, don't apply your rational mind to this. The Spirit has brought this on. This has come by inspiration. And the way of this order is not to put it to logical scrutiny. Subject it to logical scrutiny. I'll try to improve upon it rationally. That's not the way of this order. The way of this order is to wait until the Holy Spirit hits another. Right? All right, I'm sure you understand. All right. Now, but there's another order that has to come in. What is that? The Spirit of Truth. Says when he has come, he will lead you into all truth. It didn't say you have to wait on the Spirit. It won't come quick. And Allah says in the Quran, in this Quran, is sent down in gradual measures. Not quick, in gradual measures. It's an educating process. It's a difference. These two complement each other. And one must come before the other. How can people follow a good line of reasoning and they can't follow a good line of feeling? You don't know how to feel right about people? How you gonna think right about people? You can't feel right in a given situation? How you gonna think right in that given situation? So the first thing is for God to bring about a condition to make people sensitive to what is right, so they will feel right. And after they can feel right, then you can show them how to think right. So Jesus is a necessary. He's a necessary condition for Muhammad. Yes. Jesus must come first, then Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, Prophet Muhammad is the educator from among the illiterate. A lot of us don't know that Jesus, too, was not schooled. He was not schooled. His mother was a holy woman. And she grew up in a holy religious order. Jesus was born to her out of that order. Then Jesus didn't come under the teachings of that order. Jesus came into his mission and his teachings by inspiration, the Holy Spirit. And he surprised them and amazed them when he encountered them. They were so amazed at his insight. He wasn't taught. He wasn't educated. God had inspired him to have that kind of insight. And he surpassed them, and he became their leader, their master, according to the words of the Scripture. Right? Yes. So we have to understand that. For here one must come behind him, Jesus said. He said, look, I must go away. It's expedient that I go away. Mean that it's a necessity of God's law that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. So you see how important it is for us to know how God caused great major changes to take place in the intellect of the people in order to bring them out of slavery, mental slavery, into life. He has to first make them morally sensitive. Then after making them morally sensitive, then they are agreeable to be educated. To be educated. Who are the hardest people to educate? It's the sinful people. Those who are prone to doing wrong. They are the hardest ones to talk sense to. This is very important that we know this. Because, look, if I'm an individual that want to improve my intellect, if I accept this as being a profound fact of my behavioral nature, that your brain just doesn't work right when your spirit is given to wrongdoing, then if I want my brain to be more excellent, then I'll try to bring my spirit to conform to better moral life. Oh, yes, and that's the key. Look at this Western society. This is important. Believe me, this is very important, especially for us. Look at this Western society. I remember Charles, 10 years old, when this country, the majority of white people in this country, took pride in themselves as people who believed in refined morals. But look what has happened over the last 20 years. Now the majority of white people, they're just as wasted as the people they used to call uneducated Negroes. Right? Okay. Now, in this period that we're talking about, in this period of moral degeneration that we're talking about right now, we've also seen the economic crash or the economic deterioration of this nation. That not a fact? So here we're talking about what God says, and I'm pointing evidence out to you that what God says, here's the proof of it. God says that the condition for intellectual excellence is moral excellence. There's no such a thing as intellectual excellence if you don't have moral excellence. And I'm showing you a fact in history that's within your grasp. It's not before your time. And we're able to see this manifest where the moral deterioration set in and the intellect, they start talking about what? A brain drainage. Isn't that what they told us? There's a brain drainage on the country. Oh, yes. And with that also, the crumbling of business. Crumbling of business. If this is not plain, if this is not evident, what will convince the people that Allah's way is the right way? You won't be convinced. If this won't convince you, you'll never be convinced. So we repeat that the moral condition is necessary for the second condition. Now you say, well, how does that apply to Prophet Muhammad? Jesus didn't come before Prophet Muhammad. The Jahiliyyah, the ignorance, the corrupt age was there before Prophet Muhammad. But Jesus was before Father Muhammad, too. And many people were not given to that corruption. There were still many good people, like the one who heard of Prophet Muhammad and said, yes, I mean, I believe, I know who he is. Wasn't that one of those that left from Jesus? There was one left from Jesus. He said, I believe, I know who he is. See, our scripture tells us about a man like this. Yes! And they were the ones who turned to the message of Prophet Muhammad and became good Muslims. Who gave him haven? What country gave him a rescue from the ignorance of his own people, from their violence? It was Christian Ethiopia. That's right. So you can't separate Prophet Muhammad and Jesus. And what did Prophet Muhammad say? Prophet Muhammad says, peace be on him. He said, and in the end, they shall see me and Christ Jesus together. How are they going to be together? As necessary complements of each other. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, the Jesus, the Christ principle, the Christ nature, has to be in Prophet Muhammad if Prophet Muhammad is to become Muhammad. Muhammad is the intellect that praises God and champions the cause of fallen humanity.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Zakat, Z-A-K-A-T, Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Thank you. You and your child deserve a good education in a good environment. Register or inquire now at Sister Clara Muhammad School in Chicago, a private, independent Islamic school system that's been in operation for 50 years, the Sister Clara Muhammad School. Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks. Produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening.